just turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and probably just going to read the first five verses here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm just going to stop right there. Now, this is the letter of Paul. It is addressed to the churches which are of Galatia. The churches of Galatia. From Paul and all the brethren who are with him. First thing I want to say is this is not a letter to unbelievers. This is a letter to believers. Paul wrote this to those that God had given hearing ears, seeing eyes, and a heart to understand. What about the poor lost sinner? Well, what about him? That's not who Paul was writing to. I thought about this the other day. The only message we have, the only message that there is to those who have ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that understands. Now, we're all sinners. That hasn't changed. But the message is for those that are alive. The dead can't hear, the dead can't see, and the dead can't understand. That's who Paul was writing to, because Paul couldn't give the sinner life. Paul could only write to those who could understand. I can't give the sinner life. Christ has to give life before the message will be of any value. And Jesus Christ gives life. He gives hearing ears, seeing eyes, and a heart to understand. The reason I know that is because he said so. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And the reason Jesus Christ could say that is that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Lord. I heard a fellow this morning caught the tail end of the wrong program, and he was kind of giving his invitation, and he did throw it in at the end, but he was talking about, if you have a concern about Jesus, just pray with me right here. Pray, Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive my sins and this, that. And actually, he didn't say Lord Jesus. He said, Jesus, save me. And then at the end, he said, and you'll be my Savior and Lord. He's got to be your Lord before he can be your Savior. Only the Lord saves. The scriptures are completely clear on that. And you'll find it in the Old Testament too. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah 41 and verse 14. Isaiah 47 and verse 4 says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, king shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Anytime redemption is mentioned, anytime salvation is mentioned, anytime anything having to do with that is mentioned, it's the Lord that does it. It's because of the Lord. I like that. Because of the Lord that is faithful. That's why, O Jacob, thou worms are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The Lord's his name, the Redeemer's his name, and he's the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. The Lord and thy Redeemer, who is the Holy One of Israel, say exactly the same thing. They always say the exact same thing. To be honest, I think this is one of the reasons some people have some problems with the book of Isaiah, because all of these are from Isaiah 41, 47, 49, and 54. This is where Isaiah, from chapter 41 on, kind of changed his tune. And they say that one guy wrote the first 39 books, and the other, or 40 books, and the next guy wrote the rest of them. Because the message was, it seems to have been altered. But it's not been altered. It's the same message. It's the Lord who saves. Now there's a little more revelation in it. And here's where you start seeing this. Saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You'll find that in the latter chapters of Isaiah. And people don't want that. They don't want the Lord who has to save. They don't want salvation because of the Lord who's faithful. They want salvation. In the Old Testament, they wanted it by the law. They wanted it by their works. And guess what? In the New Testament, that's what the people want now. They want salvation by works. They don't want salvation by grace. They don't want salvation by God. They do not want the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord of Israel. But these three, the Spirit, the Son, and the Father, agree in one. And the reason they agree in one is because they are one. And the reason it's the same in the Old Testament is the same in the New Testament is that he is the Lord and he changes not. This letter that Paul wrote here is to those who have been called to the salvation that they have been chosen unto, because no one else will understand. No one else will have this man to reign over them. And you can put it this way, the lost sheep ain't going to understand it now. Only those who have been given life by God can understand this message. So Paul starts off here that this is unto the churches of Galatia. And the first words he speaks is, grace be to you. Or first words he writes, grace to you. That's a good start. Grace to you. You know why Paul started off that way? Because grace comes first. Grace comes first. Always grace comes first. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Why? Because of the grace of God. His grace. I call it His grace or God's grace because that's whose it is. It's His. Man's grace doesn't do me any good. Well, you know, that's what you call an oxymoron. Man's grace. The one we used to always give as an example was military intelligence when I was in the Army. Man's grace is of no value. Man has no power. Man has nothing. But God's grace does whatever God purposed it to do. As a matter of fact, man's grace leads to being accursed, which is what you'll read on in the rest of this chapter. The election is of grace. The choosing is of grace. Now, election is not salvation, but election is unto salvation. But grace is the start. Grace is where it all began. And grace is where it will all end. Grace is the end of our salvation, if there can be said to have an end to something that is everlasting life. But it was grace at the beginning, it's grace in the middle, and it'll be grace at the end. It's all of grace. Salvation is because of the grace of God. Grace comes first, because without His grace, there is no life, there is no faith, there is no salvation. Then the next thing he says is peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace to you from God. Peace only comes after grace. There is no peace without the grace of God. Because He made peace. Who did? Not me. Him. Christ made peace. And peace to you is because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It's from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Something else they agree on. Something else they agree on. There is no peace outside of God. There is no peace outside of Christ. And His peace is a gift to His people. Walter, they had this on a bulletin board in Princeton. Just the first five words. It says, peace I leave with you. There's more to it, though. My peace I give unto you. It's His peace. We're in Galatians 1. If you want. Can I say hi to Doug on the video? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believers are at peace with God. That is such a blessing that I wish I could explain it. I wish I could comprehend it, what it actually means. Peace was made by the King of Peace, by the Prince of Peace. One of his incarnations when Christ did come to the earth in past time was called Melchizedek. He was the King of Salem, that is, the King of Peace. Peace is not found. You'll hear that a lot when people die. I hope they found their peace now. I hope they found peace before they died. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Because peace has got to find you. My peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And that's the only way to have peace. Peace cannot be found. Now, you might find yourself some contentment. You might find yourself some ease of mind. But a peace with God has got to come from God. It's got to be given by the Son. Grace comes first, and then you can have peace. Christ, who is our peace, finds his sheep and they'll go in and they'll go out, but they'll find pasture. They'll go in, they'll go out, they'll find pasture. My wife asked me one day, what all that mean? I says, well, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure, but the best I can come up with is that no matter where you are, the shepherd will feed you if he's your sheep. You can go in, you can go out, but you'll be fed by the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep and will not lose a one of them, and they're not going to starve. You will find pasture. You will find food. You will find nourishment for your soul because the good shepherd will see to it. He takes care of his sheep and he gives them his peace. My peace ain't no good. My peace comes and goes. Sometimes I'm pretty content. Sometimes I'm pretty happy. But peace, my peace, doesn't mean much. His peace is what I need. Because he made peace with the Father, whom I had offended, whom I am offending right now. He made peace with him. And because of that, the Father is at peace with me. There's a lot of people who think they're at peace with God, but that doesn't mean God's at peace with them. And that's a whole other matter. And matter of fact, that's the part that actually does matter. Because it's okay if you're not at peace with God, if he's at peace with you. He'll show it to you eventually. He will. But if you think you're at peace with him and he doesn't agree, he always wins those arguments. He always wins those arguments. Christ, who is our peace, gives his peace to us. We are given the peace of God, and we are at peace with God. Romans 5:1 put it this way, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it anyway. People read that and they think, see, you believe, you're justified. You pray the sinner's prayer, you'll be justified. See, God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. So everybody's got faith, but now we're justified because we believe. And there we have, no, we have peace with God through Christ. We don't have, being justified by faith, it's His faith. But we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, not even through our faith. Our peace is in a person. Our life is in a person. Our love is for that person. Jesus Christ is our peace. And then this last thing I'm going to speak to here today, because this is a sentence, and I believe Walter said this a while back, and it kind of hit me then, and then it hit me the other day. Verse 4, the Apostle Paul pretty much states the gospel in a sentence, in one verse. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." That's the gospel. That's the good news. He gave himself for our sins. And that had a result. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for sins. That's why he came. He who knew no sin, who had no sin, who never sinned, who could not sin, was made sin. He was not made a sinner. He was made sin. He took it upon himself, and it was laid upon him all at the same time. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The Father made him sin for us, and he gave himself for our sins. This has already happened. Paul is writing of it in the past tense. This has already happened on the cross at Calvary. It was accomplished. He gave himself for our sins once. It never had happened before, and it's never going to happen again. No matter what anybody thinks. There's not going to be a new Son of God born now. No matter what Hollywood says. No matter what people think. The sacrifice was made for sin forever. That's it. Jesus Christ gave himself once for our sins. Forever. He was made sin. Who knew no sin? There was no sin in him. Our sins were laid on him. And he took them unto himself, and he gave himself for our sins. You know what that's called? That's called grace. He took those sins. He did this. He did his work graciously, full of grace, full of love, full of mercy. But grace comes first. He did it willingly. He did it lovingly. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Another specifying word, us. This was done, Paul states it, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now I was looking at this and I read Gill's little thing on it, and he mentioned it to where this word world, it's not the word cosmos. It's not like used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And actually, this world translated world here is basically where we get our English word, eon, from this present age. He hath delivered, that he might deliver us from this present evil time period, this eon, this age. And I thought about that because I've always heard it, you know, he's delivered us from this present evil world. And they talk about the world. They talk about, you know, because we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's true. But I like this in the fact that this actually does state as a time period that may actually have no end, which it doesn't, because it is everlasting life we're given. But right now, I am delivered from this time. It actually happens in time on this planet while I'm here. He delivered us from this time. And I like that. Because we are still in the world as believers, but we are not of the world. Believers are different. And I'm not saying that boastingly, because we don't make the difference. God does. Grace does. Christ did. Past tense. Matter of fact, we didn't even ask to be different. He's found of those that seek him not. Why? Because he's the one that does the finding. He's the one that does the bringing. He's the one that gives the life. He's the one that gives the faith. He's the one that gives the knowledge. He's the one that does all of the work that is done. Christ did it all. Believers right now have been delivered. Now there's more to come. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. That shall happen. But right now, we are delivered by Jesus Christ unto himself, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Believers have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's not boasting, that's just reading. He has delivered us from this present evil world. Christ performed this deliverance. He has delivered us, and it is our deliverance. We have it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but we do have a treasure. We have been given life from God. I got to quit. That's the gospel. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world is all according to the will of God and our Father. That's the source. And it's all God. the giving of himself, that was of himself. The giving of himself for our sins, that's of himself. That we might be delivered, that's of himself. It's his work, and it's according to the will of God. He has saved his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from his sins. He has saved his people from their sins. And this might sound a little cocky, but nothing can touch me or any one of you who believe Christ unless God allows it. That's it. We have been delivered who believe Christ through the faith which God gave from the life that God gave. If you're in that case, you have been delivered from this world and from this time. Right now, we have been delivered if you know Christ. That's good news. And all of this is according to the will of God our Father. What's the Father's will? This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And in case you didn't understand it, the next verse, that's John 6:39. This is John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The good shepherd never loses anything. Why? Because he's good. He's not the mediocre shepherd. He's not the halfway shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he's good at his job. It is the will of God the Father that the Son should save his people from their sins. It is the will of God the Father that the Son should raise them up at the last day. Guess what's going to happen at the last day? The Son's going to raise up everyone that the Father gave to him. Every single one that the Father gave to him, Christ is going to raise him up on that day. That's the will of the Father. Who's going to stop him? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the end, he ends it with this: to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's about all you can say. To him be the glory. To God be the glory. To Christ be the glory, because they have done it all. He has done it all. Sacrifice, the deliverance, and the final raising. He's done it all. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Because it's his grace, his peace, his faith, his life, is his redemption. He redeemed us. He owns us. And thankfully, he never disowns anything he owns, even if we deserve it. We belong to him. He's going to keep us. He's going to keep us. He's going to raise us up at the last day. He's promised it. He'll bring it to pass. Just as sure as the deliverance is done, that resurrection's going to happen. just as sure. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time and this place, and for you, O Lord, who gave your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did give himself for our sins, who did make us righteous in himself, who did make peace with you, so that now I have peace with you. All of your children have peace with you. Thank you. In his name, amen.